Well, I appreciate your prayers. As always, we're very desperate for the Lord. I'd like to start with a verse in Matthew, the 4th chapter. In 4 and 17 of Matthew, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I'd like to talk to us a little tonight about the idea of repentance. It is one of the essential ingredients of our salvation. It's plainly put in the scriptures that you must repent. I thought of this. I thought of Brother Jim White, and I know many of you didn't know Brother Jim, and some of you did, but he was quite an influence in my life, and I really appreciated this brother. He was, tell you a little bit about his history. He grew up in poverty. He was born in 1922 in a very center part of West Virginia, in a time and place where most people were very poor. He was on the low side of the scale of poor. He had very little as he was raised. He come up of age, and World War II had broke out. Brother Jim was ended up being drafted. He ended up volunteering for to be a paratrooper. Ended up in the 101st Airborne, and was a part of the first wave of planes that went over on Normandy. He parachuted out at Normandy on D-Day. He was in three major battles of World War II that was chronicled as major battles. He experienced them firsthand. He was one of the 101st that was in Baston at the Battle of the Bulge. He had a very interesting life. And he come home from that war. He told me one time that he had come home from that war to a wife that he hadn't seen in a couple years, and to a small child that I believe he had only seen once. And he said, "I come home without any human emotions towards them." The war had steeled him to the place that he was hard. He had hardened himself to be able to get through it. And when he got home, he found that he didn't have the human emotions that you should have. He said he'd just as soon be with the buddies as his wife. He knew something was wrong with him. And the Lord dealt with him. God dealt with Brother Jim until he saw where he was at. He saw how undone he was. And he turned to the Lord. And the Lord saved him. And changed him. Brother Jim would say things about himself that was hard for me to believe. Couldn't hardly believe that he was in me. I never saw it in him. That's how definite the Lord had changed him. But Brother Jim loved people. He loved to contact new people. He went around with tracts in his pocket. And everyone he met was a friend. And he reached out to everyone. He told me something very interesting one day. He said, "I found out that you can talk to most people about just about anything in religion, except repentance." Yes. Except repentance. That's where it really comes down to it. To repent. The definition of repent, it isn't what most people think. And Lord, help us today to understand it more fully. Because I run into so many people that talk about repenting.
And they believe repenting is to say, maybe during their meal, or maybe 10 times a day, they'll say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. That's not repenting. That's not what it means. I mean, that's good to say that, I suppose, but it's hollow and empty if there's nothing to it. Repent has a definition to it. I had somebody recently say to me, said, I repent all the time. Said, I repent about things I don't even know. And I said, no, you don't. And they were shocked that I was being pretty bold, to be honest with you. It was a friend, though. Somebody I could do it with. I said, no, you don't. And they were saying, well, you can't. It's impossible. That's not what the definition is. You can't repent about things you don't know. Because repentance is all about changing from things that you do know.
Right.
You can't say, you just can't arbitrarily repent of something that you don't know about. It doesn't even work. It doesn't fit the definition. It can't be. The definition of repent is to think differently. It's to turn around. It's to change. You can't just arbitrarily say, I just repent all the time, because it doesn't work. There's more to the definition, though, than to just think differently, but that's really what the Lord is all about. That's what He's wanting us to do. Do you know, I want to say right off the beginnings of it, that usually we think of repentance as a negative term. The ability to repent is not negative. The heart to repent is not negative. The way to salvation is through repentance. The way to higher life in God is through repentance. The way to take care of wrongs that's been done and change our life is through repentance. I thank God that I still have a heart, a sensitive enough heart, to be able to repent if I need to repent. The dangerous place for all of us is to get into a state of mind or a place to where we can't be moved enough to repent.
Yeah.
To have our minds, thoughts changed. To think differently than what I used to think. The way I used to think. To reconsider. What I used to think. The way I used to think. But it's more than that too. Repentance means morally to feel compunction. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the word compunction or not. The word compunction literally means to prick or sting. The word is almost never used literally anymore. You could say accurately that I felt compunction as I went through the bar patch. But you wouldn't hear anybody say that, I don't think. It's just, because it's not used literally in that sense anymore. It's used more in the sense of feeling guilt. Feeling pricked. You remember when Jesus came to Paul and said, why are you kicking against the pricks?
Yes.
It let me to know that the event that had happened with Paul on the road to Damascus was being, that God was already working with Paul before the road to Damascus.
Yes.
Because there was already feelings that Paul was having of compunction. Why are you kicking against this pain you're feeling? The inside must be doing something, Paul. Why are you fighting against this that I've been working in your life? The idea of changing our hearts and minds, to be able to change our thoughts, the way we think, to reconsider a different point, a different way of that, is almost impossible for us to do for ourselves. But the Lord, in His mercy, will bring compunction. You know, it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. it's the love of God. It is the fact that the Lord can say on this world right tonight, you're guilty and I'm through. Couldn't He? But it's the goodness of God that allows the events of life and His mercy that's lingering still to us, that we might feel compunction. We might feel the prick, the sting of guilt, and say in our hearts that it's not worth it. I don't like this way. I need something different than it. You know, a lot of times it takes people getting caught. I know we say sometimes, oh, they only done it because they got caught. But sometimes it takes getting caught to really realize what you're going to lose. I mean, to be honest with you, David was a man after God's own heart, and he only responded after he was caught. It's almost impossible for me to believe that David didn't think of what he had done. I think he did. I think he would have had to have thought about it. Maybe he tried to put it off. Maybe he tried to do that. But there come a time to where the Lord made it so plain. It was with great cost. David had to really pay for this. But you know what? You can read the 51st Psalm. Maybe we'll get to it later. But David, after that incident, it's what, if you want to really look at repentance, you can go to that psalm and read that repentance. And here was a man that repented.
Yes, he was.
Here was someone that felt the guilt of that. The compunction was real in his heart. It was real in his life. He needed the Lord to help him in this. And folks, listen. Salvation, repentance is paramount to our salvation experience. We have to learn to be able to repent. Lord, help us to be always in a place of repentance. I'm not talking about repentance against sin. I mean, if you need to, I'm saying come all and repent, but I'm saying in our lives we need to keep our hearts in a place that we're willing to be able for the Lord to bring things to our life and that we can consider, reconsider, to be able to move our hearts and minds in these ways. All the world of religion has it so wrong, folks.
Yes, they do.
They have it so wrong about repentance. They believe that repentance is simply making a statement about something. No, repentance is the understanding of that and the willingness to say, I don't want that anymore.
Yes, that's right.
Lord, help me. I don't want this way anymore. My own experience, young man, 23 years old, strong, healthy, had things going my way, totally miserable, totally wretched. Got to the point that I said, this ain't no good anymore. Nothing works for me. I don't trust nobody. Nobody trusts me. I don't enjoy anything. The things are useless. Nothing enjoyable. Nothing's meaningful. Nothing's worthwhile. Nothing. 23 years old. And all the things that I've done, nothing satisfied. Nothing's any good. Nothing's working. I come to a real sense of compunction. I felt the pricks. I felt the pain. I felt the guilt of the sting of those kind of things. And the Lord worked with me and got me into a place to where I was willing to change.
Yes.
Lord, if you've got anything for me now, my life isn't working. You know, I would love to be able to preach this to the whole world. I like to be able to say to every addict out there that's run plumb out, every drunkard that's run plumb out, everyone that's tried all these things in sin, I'd love to be able to say to them, the thing that all that's there, there is an easy step.
Yes.
A very easy step.
Amen.
Repent.
Amen.
Repent. It's what the Lord said to do. Jesus comes and he started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your thoughts. Change your thoughts. Change your ways. Think differently than you thought before. Look to God. He's able to help you. God's able to help you. We'll look at another scripture in Revelations. Familiar passage. Revelations 2. It happens
It happens that the Lord cares for us all.
Yes.
The Lord loves the sinner tonight, and do you know what the message is? Repent.
Yes.
That the message is, feel through the working of His Spirit. Feel the compunction. Feel the sting. Let it motivate you to a change in your life. I'm really not here preaching that because I don't believe it. I believe that the plan of salvation is a joint effort between the will of man and the will of God. Because there's places and things for us to do, but we can't do it without Him. I can wish myself to be better, but wishing myself never made me better. I can will myself to be better, but willing myself never made me better.
No.
I can want to change the way I think and can't change the way I think. But when I turn that to God and repent from what that, I turn from these things to run my life with. I turn from the wickedness, the evil, the things that I know wrong in my life. Then the Lord's able to take that and make a difference in my life.
Yes,
I can't do it by myself, and He won't do it without me. It's the plan of God. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here before you. How are you going to enter into the door? Your effort is to repent. Be willing to. Oh, I want to tell you, I had a conversation with a guy. He said he wanted to see me after service. He's long gone now. He said, want me to pray with you. So I went to the altar with him. And he started to tell me, I got this, had this problem for years. I got a smoking habit, an addiction. And tried different times to get rid of it and never been victorious. And I'd like for you to pray for me that the Lord would help me to not have the desire to do it anymore. I began to deal with him a little bit, and he never was able to get. And I said, I've had this one pray, never could get victory. I made a simple little comment about the error of it. He backed up and said, now just wait a minute. He said, I want to tell you right off. I've talked to a lot of preachers, and they've said a lot of things. But I don't believe there's a thing wrong with smoking. I said, well, I think we found the problem. I know why you never got victory in all those years. I know why you can't get no power of God to do it. I know exactly why, brother. Until you come to the place that you can see the error of it, there's no repentance. You're saying, Lord, you do your work and forget about mine. I'm not repenting of it. I'm not sorry that I done it. I'm not sorry that I wrecked. This man's health was totally destroyed by it. He had emphysema so bad he couldn't hardly talk. He done all that stuff, and he never was saying that I wish I'd never done it. There's nothing wrong with it, preacher. Don't you try to say it is. I've had too many arguments on that line. Well, you're the one with the problem too, brother. You're the one that needs delivered too, so you better heed some counsel here. You want some victory over this, you need to repent. You need to be sorry, you need to change your thinking. You need the Lord to help you to get to the place that was awful, it was terrible, it was undone, it was filthy before the Lord, and I'm sorry I ever done it, and I'm going to tell you, you can get some victory on the Lord that way. He never got victory, folks. And He was never willing to have a repentant heart. Well, the Lord wants to help all of us. In Revelation, second chapter. Let's see. Start with maybe the first. Revelations. Start with the first verse. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and thou dost cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Wow, that's quite a testimony, isn't it?
Yes.
Powerful. The Lord was appreciative of it, made a point that the angel told him. This was, I've seen it all. I've seen all these places. Nevertheless, I want to emphasize the value of a repenting heart. All our Christian experience, all the way through, that we would be able to have a softness in our hearts, to be able for the Lord to deal with us, until if we needed something corrected, we would be willing to correct it. Well, he says to them, nevertheless, you've done well. Nevertheless, you know, it's a faithfulness of the Lord to say nevertheless. It really is. It's the faithfulness of God. It's the love of God. It's His care for us that He would be willing to reveal Himself to us. That's one of the greatest gifts of God. I want to tell you, the dangerous, most dangerous place that you can find yourself in is in the place that the Lord isn't willing to say anything. We don't have any hope if He don't talk to us. If He's not willing to touch our hearts so we'll be able to understand, we can't see nothing without revelation. We don't know anything without Him. We can't even change and get our own hearts in order. But the Lord said, nevertheless, to them, I want you to have a chance and opportunity, so I'm going to tell you, right where you're at this time. I mentioned it earlier, I think about it a lot. Unto the angel of the church, it's not eat, right? Or to the angel of Marty Clevenger. Right. What would he say? What would he say? He possibly might critique somewhere. I would hope so. If that's what's needed. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You know, these people, by the way I can understand this, these people hadn't lost out with the Lord. Didn't sound like. The Lord hadn't... It wasn't over. It wasn't the end. They had found themselves getting there with the Lord, finding themselves in a place, and took on the normal course of living life and living for the Lord, and they had fought the enemies on every hand. They had been noble. They stood up for the Lord. They blessed His name all the way, and in the process of human life, they just missed something. Didn't aim to, didn't try to, but in the process of it, they were still doing what they was doing, but they wasn't doing it for why they should be doing it. They had lost the why. So the Lord says to them, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Change your mind. Change your thinking. You're doing these things, but you've lost an ingredient that time is going to tell on you. This is what the Lord is saying. Sometimes we have a real spiritual lesson in all this, and sometimes it's more mechanical than anything else. If you go on in this way without the love of God, you're going to lose. You can't keep doing what you're doing. You become, we're moving people. We don't stand still. We don't stay in the same place. You're doing this without the love of God that you started with. And you're going to fail. So the Lord comes and says, repent of that thinking. Change. Feel the compunction of my Spirit as I send this angel. Feel the compunction of the Lord saying, you imagine the Lord looking down on us tonight and say, you all don't love me like you should. Oh Lord, help me. Feel the compunction of it. Read your own gauges, folks. Read your own gauges. You have to do it. I do it in my own life. If I start feeling like that I really am tempted not to go to service on Sunday morning, I check my heart. Lord, I told you I'd do it. I want to live for you. This is the best opportunity that you made. You put it in the Scripture. You established the day. You established the Lord's day as proper. You set the system up. You got the system. I got the congregation. It's within a short distance. I can go and do all that, but I don't want to go. Oh, Lord, help me.
I should want to. Can I turn a switch and say, I don't want to, but now I do? No, I can't. I need the help of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know how to get it? Repent.
Yeah.
Feel the compunction. Lord, I'm sorry I feel this way. I let myself go until I don't feel like I have a good burning desire to serve you. I want to have it. How do I get it? There's where the Lord comes in. I can't make myself do anything, but the Lord can. You know, the Lord has done it for me a number of times where I've done that. I'll be honest with you. You only see when I come to these meetings, you only see me usually walk from there to here, and then I give a message, and I go back, and sometimes I do a few other things, and we talk, and you know that, and you don't know me inside. You don't know me inside. You can't know me inside. You don't know that the times in the last 25 years that I felt like I was burning out. 1 mile after another and another mile and driving through the nights and this meeting and that meeting and this and all of a sudden I feel like nothing's happening, all these things. Listen, human stuff. I want to do it. I want to do it, but I can't control all of those things. And there are times that I say, where's my love of God? Where's the joy of it? It's supposed to be joy in this world. I ain't feeling no joy here. You know what he told these people? Repent. Repent. It's a golden it is a golden opportunity. Repentance is a wonderful tool in the toolbox. I'm not talking about the world's way or the religious world's way of repenting. Their way of repenting is to say I'm sorry and never changing. So I start stealing stuff off of you and I come and tell you I'm sorry, I'm stealing your stuff, and you turn around the next day and see me going with another armload. That's not repenting.
No, it's not.
And I get caught again, and I say, oh, I'm so sorry I stole your armor. I come to you, I'm sorry I stole your armor. And you say, brother, you're forgiven, we'll make it better. And you turn around, and here I go with your chainsaw. I repent. I repent. I had an interesting little thing. Just confess my faults. About last August, I get a thing in the mail from West Virginia Department of Highways, motor vehicles, saying that you're out of points. You're out of points. You got about three left, they say, and you get if you do it again, you're going to have to pay money to get back. And then if you do it again after that, you got to pay more money. And you do it again, you got to go to classes to get your points back. And you're going to be in real time and look at that and say, you're kidding me. I called them up and said, this can't be right. Yeah, I got speeding deals a couple times. But this woman was just, she was so wonderful. She's such a nice lady. And this really, really nice lady on the phone informs me that if you do it again, you're going to lose your license. She's so nice about it. Folks, listen, I don't do it on purpose. The Lord knows this. I don't do it on purpose. I'll be talking. I'll be driving down the road. I get used to higher speeds. I'm going down and all of a sudden it's 50 and I'm still going 70. I am not maliciously doing this, folks. I try to be careful about it. And even when I'm careful about it, I find myself doing it. It's a frailty of mine. I mean, it's a frailty. It really is. Well, I was talking to Sister Purvis this last year, and I told Sister Purvis, I said, you know, I about lost my license here. I told her about that point, and she said, Brother Marty! And I said, and she said, you're a minister of the Church of God. I'm sorry, Sister Purvis. And she said, that looks awful. I repent. I repent. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, listen, I have made it a point. You know you can do better than you think you can? They told me I was going to lose my license, and part of what I do in this world is drive the miles to get to places. And they told me I wasn't going to be able to do it.
They did say, I mean, once the 2 years is over, you get the points back and you get the point. I got five. I'm down only three. I've got plenty now. But by August next year, I'll be clear. But I'll tell you what it done for me. It made me to do what I never thought I could do. I pay attention. I'm paying attention. Do you know why? Compulsion. Compulsion. I didn't do it before. I didn't know I could get there. But I did get there. And I pay attention to stuff. I pay attention because I'm going to do this again. Marty, think. You can't go right. You got to watch. You got to watch. And the Lord's helped me. I'm praying about it. Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me. Well, Lord, help us in things that's more important than speeding.
Yes.
In life stuff. Repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry, folks. It's a changing of thought. It changes your attitudes, your ways. It's more than just saying, well, I'm sorry I done that to you. And go away thinking, boy, I ought to really lay it on them. But I won't because I know I'm supposed to be right. Now, wait a minute. There's a repentance that works all the way. I'm sorry that I think that way. Lord, help me to change my patterns of thinking that I get pleasure out of evil things. That's repentance.
Yes.
Repentance ain't real when you sit down at the dinner table and say, I'm sorry for the sins that I don't even can't categorize. Repentance is when I say, Lord, I've done something wrong and I hurt somebody. I'm so sorry. Sorry to the point that by your grace, I will never do that again.
Yes.
I'll never do it again. How much do you think a wife believes her husband that's abused her and gets drunk and comes and beats her up and he gets sober and says, I'm sorry? It works once, don't it? Don't it generally work starting out if they love one another? Yeah, they don't do it because they're so desperate to have it work. And they get beat a dozen times. It don't work, folks. Repentance has got to be more just than I wake up the next day sorry. It means that I got compunction, that I got to do whatever I got to do to make this right. The Lord said to these people here, repent. You got caught in a place. And the answer to you coming back and making it right is to repent. Repent. Look at what you said. And don't start saying, well, we did all these other things. That makes us good. No, this thing that the Lord pointed out that can hinder me, I become very sorry for that. Sorry, and to the point of the pain that I would say, Lord, I don't want this to be this way. By your grace, I won't be that way. By your grace, I'm going to go and redo it again. This is what the Lord said to him. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Oh, I like the idea of it. Maybe there's much more to it than this. But what's a candlestick for? What can you do without it? What the idea is that I left you with the potential. You still can burn. You still can light. You can still be a light. I've left the candlestick. But if you don't repent, I'm going to remove the potential that you have. I'm going to remove the hope and possibility you have. You know, you can find yourself getting into a place, folks, people have hardened their hearts before to the place that they can't repent. There is doctrines. There is Christian, so-called Christian doctrines that erases away people's ability to truly repent. They're damnable doctrines. The doctrine that you're once saved, always saved, and just you can never do anything after that that would risk your eternal destiny is a damnable doctrine because it erases people's repentance.
Yes.
They can't come to the place of repentance because there isn't any need to change my thoughts. I'm going to heaven when I die. It's an awful doctrine. The doctrine of repentance is the true one. That I have to repent if I need to. The ability to repent. The blessings of being able to repent. Thank God that we could repent. I'll be honest with you. I thank God that there's a plan to where we forgive one another. Then if I say something, and I've done it, I've said things, and in my haste before I've said things, and it wasn't the right thing to say. And you know what? I like to be quick to do. This is me. I like to be quick to just get up and say, listen, what I said was the wrong thing to say. I'm sorry that I said it, and I want to ask you all to forgive me that I did say it. And then I don't have to feel the compunction that long. I don't like the compunction. I don't like the singing. I don't like the preach. Another scripture. Oh, I'm thinking of Luke, 18th chapter. Another very familiar scripture. Most of us heard this many times. 18. Certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. I know you've heard this before. Jesus wasn't, denying his goodness. He was simply making the statement that that guy had called him God. That's what that means. You realize you just called me God, which is exactly where you should have. That's what that means. So the idea is that you've come to the right place. He says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father, thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. That's compunction. That's the Spirit of the Lord doing its job. This man had a way to salvation. He come to the Lord, supposedly, honestly. He wanted to know, how do you get it? The Lord told him, and the words struck him. Got him in his heart. He said he felt sorrowful, which is the definition of compunction. He felt the guilt, the sting, the peck of the words that he spoke. He felt the compunction. You know what was left? Change your mind. Change your thoughts. You got your mind wrapped up on the riches of this world and the things of this world? You need to change it. You need it changed. Nothing wrong with having things. You and I enjoy things every day. We enjoy the modern vehicles we have. We enjoy our modern homes. We enjoy the things of earth. Nothing wrong with that. There's something wrong with having your heart set on it, though, isn't there? There's something wrong with having it before, having it set there before you set eternity. There's something wrong with that. The man needed to repent. It was plain and simple. Here's the repentance. Here's the actions. Here's what you got to do. Repent. But it said he was sorrowful. Let's explore this a little bit further. We heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? Now this is such a scripture to me. For they looked and said, basically, the power, the influence, the state of the heart to want, to desire security, to desire the things that would make you stable in life, to have enough, to everybody wants those kind of things. The feelings that it brings, all those kind of things. And they look and say that if you say that a rich man can't enter in, and the power that it would have over him in his heart and mind, then how can you be saved? Who can change their hearts and minds? How can you be saved if it's up to you to change your heart and mind?
How can I be in a situation to where I love something so dearly and you tell me I can't have it? How can I be saved? I can't change that. A leper can't change his spots. I can't change the color of my hair or change my, I can't change my stature. You're saying to me that there's some way that you can, who can be saved? Who can be saved? You know, something really wonderful about this, because this fits more than you think it does. You can't change your own heart tonight. You can't change yourself. I know I can't change it. And you can't change you. But God made a way of us changing. And what He said there was so profound. It's impossible with man. But it ain't impossible with God. Did you know how close that rich man was to the kingdom? All he would have had to have done was repented, and God would have changed his heart. It wasn't anything more than that. It's impossible with man to change his heart. We get our hearts on all kinds of things, folks. People kill each other over a car, or over a stitch of land, or over all kinds of things. They get their hearts on and they kill each other, and they have great passions for it. And how are you going to change what your culture teaches you? How are you going to change what your environment teaches you? What your genetics are? How are you going to change the way mom and dad raise you and what's important? How are you going to change it? How somebody born in the Middle East that's a Muslim ever going to be a Christian? How, brother Ed? How is it possible? Who can be saved? Being tired of your sin and wanting a better way? And repenting before the Lord, and then the work that He does comes into play. It's not our work. I found this so true in my own life when I ran up against things that I couldn't do. When I repented and gave them to the Lord, somehow there was something happening to me that I don't even understand. I lost passions for things long time ago that I used to have strong passions for. Because I gave them to the Lord. I can't change it. You can't change it either. And these disciples said, "Well, Lord, if a rich man with the power of that, if he can't go to heaven and can't be saved, then who can be?" Jesus said, "What's impossible with man, I can say it about my own life. Lord, if it takes me changing myself here, after decades and decades of involvement of things that I have put into my heart, how can I be saved?" And the Lord says, "What's impossible with man is possible with God." Thank the Lord! So there was a man named Jim White. He went off to war. He saw friends blown up. He saw people die. He saw the cruelty of war. The fear of war. He had an artillery shell blow up over top of him, and a piece of steel went through his hip. He was laid up for a long time, sick with that there, and nearly died of it. He had all that experience. You can die real easy out there. He told me that there was a time where he was laying in his place. These German soldiers was marching down through this field. He was hitting this little patch of wood. And he was a number of them. They was out, man. He was off. He was a linesman, so he was ahead. He was out there. And he told me this story. He said, "What do you think a man in that place, kind of a position, would have some kind of feeling?" He said, "I had no human emotion." He said, "I laid there. I got my rifle up. I trained the sights." And there's a big old sergeant marching down through there. Said he was ahead taller than everybody else. I sighted my bead. I put my bead on him. I sighted in on him. And I said, "If they see me, this man dies." He said, "I had no human care for his life, for his soul, my life, my soul. No, I didn't care for nothing. I laid there without any emotions and said, 'This man dies if they see me.'" He said, "I don't know how a man can get into a place like that." I know how it was. What are you going to do? Whimper? Cry? What are you going to do? Crawl in a hole? No, he steeled himself against it. And he got so hard that he comes like that, and he looks like an impossible case. Well, Lord, who then can be saved? Who can be saved? All of us. All of us can be saved. You see, that addict that has given his years to drugs and abuse, and that has so given himself to it that his body craves it so much, his heart, his mind, his thoughts is only towards it. You're saying, Lord, who can be saved? He can be saved. He can be saved. But it's in his own power that changes him. It's the power of God that changes. It's us, Lord, we're so desperate for the Lord. He made a plan. He makes it clear. And he said, he started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. It's time. It's at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. I'd love to preach it to everybody. I see the corruption that goes on in our government, and sometimes I can say too, who can be saved, Lord? Lying, cheating, conniving, deceitful, and all of the things that go along with it. Lord, how can you do it? And the Lord reminds me that He brought salvation. And it's powerful and it works.
Yes.
And you can get to that kind of place. You know, folks, repentance is in the heart. There was a guy, and there was a couple of thieves. They found themselves nailed to a cross beside the Savior. And one of them saying, if you're the Son of God, you're claiming something here. Get us down. Oh, the other one says, how can you say such a thing like that? We're thieves. We're robbers. We're murderers. We deserve to be here. This man's done nothing. You know, his repentance was wrapped up in simplicity. That he said to him, Lord, remember me. But I think it held all the compunction. I think it held all the sorrow and the change of thought. This righteous man, this hanging here, I should have lived my life like him. Yep. And if I have to do it over, I believe this because what the Lord said, I don't believe He ever said to him, this day would you be with me in paradise, if He hadn't have known the man's heart and thought, and the man's thought was, is that I wish, Lord, that I'd have lived like you righteously so that I could die like you're dying and not die like a thief here on the cross. So the Lord has said to all of them, and I look and say, well, who can be saved? There's so much corruption. They're so far away from God. And all these things. To feel the compunction brought by His Spirit. To feel like if I die tonight, the only thing I could do was go to a devil's hell. I'm not in the place to live, that I'll live for the Lord. To feel the weight of my eternal soul. To feel the guilt that I've had in life where I haven't lived for the Lord. And I've lied and cheated and all the things that God wouldn't be approved of. And all that weighs heavy on me. To feel that compunction and to wish that I'd done better and changed my thoughts. I run hard. I thought I was getting value by stealing, but I wasn't. I wanted that entertainment, but it didn't fulfill me. Oh, I would change my thoughts. You know, at that time, that's when the Lord... I remember my salvation. I remember coming down to an altar. I remember the tears that I cried. I remember the sorrow. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so miserable. Lord, I want to be saved. I want something better. You know, in a moment of time, I was able to say, what happened to me? Something happened to me. I'm not thinking the way I used to think. I'm not wanting what I used to want. And then I started walking real careful and cautious, and it was so real to me, and so, the Lord was so close and so valuable. It was so much different. The repentance had went all the way. I turned around. One explanation of repentance is to turn 180 degrees around. You're going one way, you turn around, and you go the other. I was running hard, and as hard as I run for the Lord or for the world, now I'll run for the Lord. I'll quit soon. But there's another scripture I think about in Haggai, the first chapter. You remember the scripture there where they had come and they started building their own houses, and the Lord comes by the prophet and says to them, "Why are your houses sealed houses, and my house lays waste? Why are you working on your own house but not working on mine? And do you not see? You know what the Lord was doing with them? Trying to make them feel compunction? He said to them, you work and you get wages. You put them in a bag with holes. Just go down, you get no profit. You're hungry. You never, you got food but never enough. You're thirsty but you're never satisfied. You plant, but you never reap nothing. Then when you do what they want, you get nothing. And he said, consider your ways. This is the idea of coming to this place and say, how is it profiting you to go on your way and be so lacking? Repent. Have a change of heart. A change of mind. He wanted them to get to the place that they said, oh Lord, what a mistake we've made. We're just barely squeaking by and it ain't working for us and we're not happy and our family's all busted up and nothing's working. Lord, have mercy. There is people in this world that looks at me. I marvel at it and even get a chuckle out of it. They'll look at me and my family and they, and even some people have said they think we're kind of strange. And my wife's still my wife and my children's my still children. I still stay in the same house and we still travel together and we still get along. And over the time, they're busted up. All these crazy things happen in their life and I'm looking and saying, then we're crazy. And we're crazy. It's good to be crazy if that's what craziness brings. Lord, help us be willing to repent. The Lord has come in His Spirit to all mankind. The proclamation of the gospel, it still is, folks. Repent and be saved. God's got salvation. But you know what? He's the one that's working. He's the one that's dealing. He's the one drawing. But somewhere along the line, He's not going to lift your foot up and make you take the step. He'll work. He'll deal. He'll do all that He can to persuade. But there'll be a come a time that you in your heart will say the thing of guilt is too much. It's too much for me, and I want to change. I want that different heart. Lord, I don't want sin anymore. I don't want the corruption in my life. I repent. It wasn't worth it, Lord. There's nothing in it. All right, let's go finish up with the 51st Psalm. I think the top of the margin on that says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. You know, there is times in life I've seen people that's done hideous things, I mean bad things to people, and then take the attitude that they need to get over it. I'm going to say something about true repentance tonight. True repentance doesn't have to state its case for why it needed to be that to start with. Well, Brother Ed, I want you to forgive me because When you done that, it hurt me awful bad, and you shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry, it ain't very good repentance.
No, it's
not at all. Blaming other, but if he says it right here. I'm not going to forget this, Lord. This is ever before me. So that I'll never do it again. It's ever before me. I go and beat my wife down to a pulp, and they come and expect her to forgive me, and she might do it. But I shouldn't declare that she ought to always feel that way. Really, it's not a very good repentance.
No.
I'm saying I'm sorry. Forever sorry. It will ever be before me. I think from the other side that you should forgive somebody 70 times 7. I'm just saying from the side of the repenter that I would say to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. And it's always before me. I'll always know that this great mercy that you had on me for this act that I've done. It's ever before me. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be cleansed. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. There's so much in this, it would be hard to cover it. Hide thy face from thy sins, and blot out my iniquity.
I like this part. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, this is what I'm striving for. He wasn't striving to make his own, create his own clean heart. He knew he couldn't do it. He knew that the man and the reason he fell to start with was ever there. He knew it was. He knew the potential would always be with him. But he knew that God could help him. So give me a clean me. He says, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew the right spirit in me. Here was a man that had experienced God almost like nobody else. He had experienced Him from his youth. God had been with him and helped him in so many things and delivered him and helped him. And he turned his back on God and he went away from God. Folks, he didn't come back till he got caught. He didn't. He come crashing down on him. His world come crashing down on him. The Lord come to him. It was mercy, and he responded to that mercy that God brought to him and repented in full. I know he did because God was there for him. He repented. His heart was... I would guarantee you that he always said, the black mark of my life. Oh, that I had never. Went down that path. Lord, that I'd never. I want to tell you, I think it made him careful on what rooftop he went up on. I think he started putting walls in his life and places in his life. Lord, I don't want to ever go there again. It's what repentance does.
Yes, it is.
It isn't just a flippant idea that I can say I'm forgiven and then do it again. No, I build my walls. I do what I have to. Lord, help me. I'm repenting totally and I'll do it whatever I have to do. Make sure you watch the speed limit. Make some change in your heart so I want to do it right. And it wasn't to be this way. I don't want someone to say, I want to tell you, I do hang my head pretty low as a minister. Oh, and what I've always tried to do when that officer walks up to my door. I'll say, I'm sorry, sir. I wasn't paying attention to your laws. I'm sorry. That was a five-pointer, too. That was the one in Kentucky when he walked. Before he got through, I purposely waited until he gave me that ticket to tell him. Because I didn't want him to think I was telling him something to try to butter him up to get out of it. So he gave me the ticket, and I said to him, listen, I want you to know. It was right at a time that there was a lot against the police officers, and I told him, I want you to know that we appreciate you all. You do a hard job, something to this effect. You do a hard job, we want you to know we're supporting you. We're for you guys. Lord bless you. I meant it, even though I paid a pretty good fine. Got my points took away. But you know, it ain't the worst thing. I thank God for those things that He puts into my life that helps me to come to a place of repentance. That I can understand, Brother Ed, I need to think different here. I need a different thought pattern. I'm going to have to change. I don't know how to do it by myself. Some of these things are just rooted in there a long ways. But I know this, when I go to the Lord with a full repentance, Lord, I don't like me. And I don't want to be this way anymore. The Lord has the power to change the rich man's thoughts. He can deliver the addicts. He can change an old God that hardened himself in war and make one of the best saints I ever seen it out of a man. He was able to do that. Brother Jim fought it down to the end. And at the end of his life, he still was reaching for God with all his heart. He was fighting to get to go to heaven. And he loved the Lord and he fought it all the way. And the Lord's able to do it and he can do it for us. You pray for me.